album being called If I Had a Hammer. But then also I was just at the biannual gathering of the People's Music Network, and I guess Pete pretty much died the day after that gathering, which he was not at because I guess he wasn't feeling well, and he hasn't been coming to those gatherings for some years, as far as the ones I've been at, he hasn't been at. So I don't know if he's been to any others. We got People's Music Network gathering in upstate New York, and when I first went to that, I was a fair writer and aspiring musician, and got a lot out of being there and basically hanging around with her to help to run workshops, to do basically to hang around with people who are trying to do what they were doing, and I guess I'm kind of in that position now, going to the same gatherings and running workshops and stuff like that, basically to pull some kind of a clue of how they might be able to survive as a musician, which is no small feat, but there are some.
One way people can support musicians, of course, is by their music. Dave, I want to give you a call back, record some more, and put it on the website because we're out of time right now. We want to talk a little bit more about the CD, what's on it, and where people can get it. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. My guest has been Dave Robics. Thanks for that, Dave. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks, Tammy. KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Next is Flashpoints.
Flashpoints, we continue our multi-part series on Lyme disease, and we'll explore how Lyme can cause neurological symptoms that look like MS, Alzheimer's, and other diseases. Also, a giant hospital chain fires nurse leaders on the forefront of the fight for safe and affordable care. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this... And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We turn our attention back to our multi-part investigation into Lyme disease. And as I told somebody earlier on, I was one of the reporters who broke the Iran-Contra scandal, co-reporters on that story. And I got a lot of response. But I'm telling you, the response from people, all friends, relatives, is extraordinary. And we're going to continue to break this story out. Last week, we discussed how many people with Lyme disease are being misdiagnosed with other illnesses like multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, ALS, autism, and chronic fatigue syndrome. We talked to author Amy Tan, who has neurological Lyme disease, but was initially being worked up for MS and feared that she had Alzheimer's disease. Today, we're going to talk to two researchers who have been investigating how Lyme disease can cause neurological symptoms that look like MS and Alzheimer's disease. First with us is Tom Greer. Tom Greer is a microbiologist who has been at the forefront of discussing how neurological Lyme can be diagnosed as multiple sclerosis. Mr. Greer was initially misdiagnosed himself as having MS before he was probably diagnosed in 1991 as having neurological Lyme. Since that time, Mr. Greer has been researching Lyme-like diseases and their correlation to multiple sclerosis. He recently partnered with our guest, who we'll be talking to a little bit, Dr. Alan MacDonald, to create the Paul Duray Fellowship Fund for Lyme Disease Autopsy. Welcome you, Tom Greer, to Flashpoints. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about who had a run-in and you were misdiagnosed.
Yeah, that's right. If my voice gives out, it's because I've had a cough for a week here.
Okay.
In 1990, things started going downhill for me, and it was a variety of symptoms. I had heart palpitations. I had pressure in my head. I had disorientation spells, visual disturbances. And as it was being investigated by physicians, I was run through every single department at a very large clinic. And after spending $250,000, they came up with multiple sclerosis as my probable diagnosis. And that was in 1990. By the spring of 1991, I was not only fully disabled, but